Hey everyone, thank you for joining me in my podcast, which is called Intellectual Discussions. Basically, the topic today is going to be about how do we cope with the current rising of food prices, petrol, and bills. In addition, do you think that this could be handled better by the government? So what I'll do is I'll let you all introduce yourselves. So I will start with David. He's the first one on my screen.
Hello all, my name's David. God, I've known this guy for too long, brother. But yeah, I'm in construction equipment hire company residing in Northamptonshire. Yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Susan, you're next on my list.
Hi, I'm Susan. I'm currently doing my PhD in race and gender in the fashion industry.
Wow.
Wow. Nice. That's excellent.
Nice. Good job. Derek, you're next.
What can I say? I've known you for years as well. You've almost grown up with the kids. I've got a couple of kids. One's 20, well, how's Becky now? 28. Megan's 22. So I've known each other for a long, long time. So yeah. I live out in the southwest, self-employed. Yeah, that's sort of me in a nutshell, to be honest.
Okay. And we're supposed to have a Kiki on here as well, but unfortunately she's not well. So she just let me know. So it's just going to be only you, Susan. I did try getting another woman on board. I did try, but I know you can hold your own. I know you can hold your own.
You're a doctor, man. You know what I'm saying? Recognize.
Okay, not yet.
You say doctor.
Okay, so what is your viewpoints on the current rises of food and petrol and the bills that we currently have in the UK? I'm assuming this goes out to around the world anyway, but you know, what do you think of it happening in the UK anyway? I'll start with you, David.
Why? I mean, what do I think of it? It sucks. Mm. Of course it sucks. But you know, I guess it's just a direct consequence of the world we're living in and the things that are happening in parts of the world. A lot of war, destabilization, everything that's going on. So yeah, what I think of it, it's terrible, but is there anything we can do about it? No.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I noticed that in America, I mean, this is going back a few years now, when the petrol went up and they just weren't having none of it. I don't know what they actually did. I think they did some form of protest, and the government heard them and brought the prices back down again. So I think
granted, I think the French are known for that type of thing as well. But you know, come on, man, when was the last time good old Middle England got together and got rowdy enough to cause a downturn in costs of anything? It doesn't happen here.
Well, in fact, they did do something about, well, more than a few years ago, when they did the, what was it called? It was called the council tax. Or was it? Was it council tax, or was it called poll tax?
Oh, you're talking about poll tax. Like,
yeah. When they did the poll tax. Yeah, and then we had a protest against it. They called it council tax, so they never really got rid of it. They just called it a different name.
Yeah.
Mm. That was their way of dealing with it. Susan, what's your take on it?
You mean other than it's bad? I don't know. I mean, obviously, in some ways, it was inevitable that there would be prices rising because of the pandemic and stuff. But I just think it shows like the mismanagement of like how they've dealt with everything from the pandemic to how our like tax money is dealt with and all those things. And this is now showing the cracks of that. And now we as like the population have to deal with the shortfalls. Mm-hmm. And it just makes me mad, because on one hand, I think, what can I as a person do about it? I don't know. And on the other hand, it's just like, geez, like, how long are we going to let the government literally screw us? Like, and not only like is all the prices going up, but like all the services are affected. I mean, from flights to public transportation to driving to groceries to like, it's just insane. Like, where does it end?
Yeah, I agree. Because when they start off with putting chicken up and then butter, afterwards you're going to get like, if you want to take a cab, that's going to go up as well, because they've got to feed their family. So it's like a chain reaction. So it's not really going to stop with just petrol and bills. It's gonna keep going with everything. What's your take on it, Derek?
Well, there's a lot of it when you think about coming out of the Brexit thing. That was the start of it all. The pandemic didn't really help much in terms of driving costs up, where people had to try and get different jobs. It's affecting travel now, and people obviously want more money. Everyone's discontented by the way things are. And then the war in Ukraine is the icing on the cake in terms of the gas and oil. Everyone's scared the gas and oil is going to be shut off. So obviously they're driving that prices. The barrel of oil has gone up exponentially now. So it's having a knock-on effect. But what I don't agree with, the government is still charging quite a high tax on fuel. If there was to cut the fuel tax, it would bring the fuel cost a bit down. Then that would have a knock-on effect on delivery prices to the superstores and stores to bring their costs down. Because half the time, the reason why food's going up is transportation costs. So it's all kind of like, when you look at the where it starts from, the way that the world is at the moment now, it all stems from around high fuel costs. The war in Ukraine didn't help much as well. Climate change has got a big effect in terms of, obviously, the farmers not getting enough water to pop water their crops, obviously, because the sun's scorching everything. So prices are going to go up for agriculture, you know, food in general. Like you said, I was watching an article about eggs, butter and milk have gone up. And that's the basic staple diet from any family. I mean, I was watching something about there's these places where people go to get food, food banks.
Food banks,
what's,
yeah.
What's going on? So it's awful, to be honest. I mean, it's not just us, it's all around the world, but certain countries will hide the fact that they're, you know, they're on the poverty line. Inflation is obviously hitting the roof right now as well. So, yeah, I don't know. But maybe with a new government change over here in terms of new leader, Liz Truss is talking about dropping taxes. Whether she does it or not, I'm not sure what she can do, because he was the Chancellor and he's a kind of averse to tax cuts. He says he wants to see a more stable environment before he drops the taxes. So if we get a different leader, maybe Truss can do something about it quickly, dropping taxes.
You see, I mean, I hear where you're coming from on that. I just think that the government in general, they need to listen to the people. And I find they don't do that enough, which obviously causes friction, because it's the people you need to listen to. It's even though the government govern what's going on, it's based upon what the people are saying. If the people say no as a joint front, then the government just can't do it. But I just find that.
I got a disagreement. I think if enough, it doesn't matter what. If you're talking purely about, like, say, working class people, everybody could be up in arms and nothing would really change. I don't believe.
Well, technically, it has a catastrophic sort of effect, because if the people stood up, if enough people stood up, it would be something that's been unheard of. It's not something that we've done before. Well, not since the poll tax, and essentially, it would look bad for any prime minister to have the people saying that we want change and what you're offering is not good enough. If the prime minister decides not to do anything about it, you can most likely guarantee that his position will be gone come next voting time. So I hear where you're coming from, but the people do have a say. I mean, technically, it is us that sort of selects who we want to be prime minister, in the terms of, if there's five people up there, then we kind of break it down in the sense of what we're looking for. So, I mean, that's just my opinion.
What's the consensus here in this group? Like, when was the last time there was a good government?
I suppose people don't
like.
go on.
No, it's just a legitimate question. Like, when was the last time? Can anyone here suggest a time when they thought that there was a good prime minister, a good government in place?
Personally,
long time, I can't remember.
I can't remember, probably before I was born. But I look at it on the aspects of, if they're doing some of what we asked for, then that's good enough. Because we're never going to get a perfect PM. We're never going to get it, whether it be male or female. We're never going to get it. But if our asks are being taken seriously and they're doing something about it, then that's a start. I mean,
do you know what? I think that the only way out, I think I'm not really with this whole group thing because, like I said before, I think if even if the majority of people were putting their voices together and, you know, trying to demand change, I think there's very little that this government or any government would do. So I think it's down to the individual to try and get themselves out of that situation themselves. And I purely mean by trying to get yourself in a better financial position so that when these things happen, you're less impacted. That's how I see it.
So what did you think?
Individuals.
So what did you think what did you think of the government giving you back, what was it, £150 to your council tax? A one-off £150 fee?
Well, do you know what I mean? Like any little helps, right? But ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, that's like a drop in the ocean, right?
Yeah.
For a lot of other people that aren't in a as good a financial situation, I'm in the best financial situation, but, you know, I'm not in the worst. There are people that, you know, that might help them out for a week, a month or whatever, and then they've got to find another solution. So there are people that, you know, that's not really going to be a long-term fix for anybody.
It's a good meal. It's a good meal out when you think about it.
Yeah, for real. I mean, I looked at it on the concept of once they offered you the £150, I was like, what's the point in that? You're only going to claw it back following year. Yeah, so you're not giving us something. You're giving us something to claw back, but you'll do it in small edges. So let's say the council tax will go up an extra £10, say, for example. It might not affect us all in a bad way. It's only £10, but I mean, if you do the maths, they've received their money back already. Technically,
I think the best cut they could do is to cut the fuel costs. That would just have a knock-on effect on everything. You cut the fuel costs, less transportation costs for getting goods and services. People who can get around. Look at the rail, the travelling cost to get anywhere. Mm. I mean, I was looking at a hotel to see my mum at some point. The cheapest hotel was £200. That's a travel lodge.
Damn.
I'm thinking, well, what's going on? This is just travel lodge in Walthamstow. It's £200.
And that's a night, not a week.
One night, bruv.
No,
that can't be.
Well, I found a place I found the Hilton instead. Was doing a deal for £150. I thought, I'd rather stay at the Hilton.
£150 for one night?
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
But this is England. This is London. I moved to Northamptonshire, 6-odd years ago. And yeah. I was... For the first year of that move, I was commuting by train into London, and the season ticket, just the train pass alone for the year, was like £9,000.
Whoa!
Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's a fair distance, but, you know, if you look at other places in Europe and stuff, for a similar amount of distance, you don't pay anywhere near that. But that's just one aspect. But people just pay it. You know, it goes up exponentially every year. People just pay it. People moan about it, stuff like that, but they just do it. But I think that's generally how the English really are. They're just, like, what is it? I can't remember what the phrase is, but they just get on with it.
I just dip up a lip, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Susan, obviously you're born in, I'm assuming you were born in America. Your take?
I was born in London, thank you.
Really?
Never assumed.
Really? Well, I take it all back. You know what I mean? I think it's
good accent. I can believe that, actually. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't lived here my whole life, but I was born here.
Wow. So you have to take on both sides of the US as well as the UK. So
Canada,
sorry. So how would you see, you know, how do we both work? I mean, would you say the UK is more expensive or practical, or would you say Canada is more practical? I mean,
UK is definitely more expensive. I mean, Canada or Toronto, where I grew up, is definitely expensive now. I mean, it's like the housing market has gone through the roof, and it's a bit insane, but it still doesn't compare to London, at least. Mm. It's definitely more expensive here. I don't know, it's hard to... There are definitely things here that work better, and there's things there that work better. Mm. So I wouldn't say, like, one is better than the other. But I'd probably say, in terms of, like, salaries matching living costs, is better in Canada.
Oh, wow. And what about the national, the health, your national health? You've got the national health over here, but over in Canada, do you have your, like, an insurance policy you have to implement to get cover? Is that how it works up there?
We have free healthcare, and then when you work, you usually get like some kind of private healthcare package, which pays for your extras. So, because things like dentists, going to the dentist and stuff is quite expensive. So if you have a good job, you can have health insurance and you can get all those extras. The dentist, if you need a specialist and that kind of stuff. So our healthcare probably isn't offer as much as the NHS does, but you can supplement that.
I'd love to go to Canada.
Yeah. Susan, what you mentioned earlier about some things working better over here than over in Canada and vice versa. Have you got an example of each?
In Canada, a lot of things are monopolized, right? So you have like one huge telecommunications company that pretty much owns like most of the telecommunications. You have one big liquor corporation that kind of owns like most of the liquor license. So it means that they set the prices, and they're
monopolizing it there,
which makes it quite high. So like internet and your mobile and that kind of stuff is expensive. You can only buy liquor in certain places. So it's like things like that. And then in terms of their systems, like here, we have like our systems are online. You can like, you know, you do your online banking. You do so many things just quickly. You don't have to go into the bank. You don't have to do the thing. Still, there's still a bit of a backwards situation. Like they still use checks in Canada.
Oh, wow.
Like I'm just like, come on, guys. Like,
damn.
So it's just, when I go
been
back,
checking a long time.
Yeah, I can't even remember the last time I had a checkbook. Mm. So when I go back, sometimes I get frustrated because I'm just like, oh my gosh, like. Yeah, there's a lot of like monopolization, and I think that halts innovation. Like they just had a nationwide internet outage about 2 weeks ago because the company that owns the telecommunications internet, they had some kind of faults. The whole of Canada couldn't communicate. They couldn't use debit cards. They couldn't use their TV. They couldn't use the internet, right? And so it's like things like that. Yeah, so I couldn't like get in touch with my family and things. So yeah, those are the frustrating things. And then also I personally don't like driving everywhere. So, and it's a very big country, you have to drive.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah, in fact, you would have thought they would have had a failover. I mean, I work in IT, you would have thought they'd have a backup failover. If one kind of massive data center goes down, they fail it over to something else. So that must have been catastrophic. I mean, you've got no e-commerce work in terms of money can't be transferred, you can't pay, use credit cards in restaurants, hotels, whatever, fuel, whatever. I mean, they kept that on the news. I've never heard of that at all.
Yeah, exactly. I'm surprised. I'm shocked by that. So yeah. Susan, what would you say is that that Canada do better than here then?
You know, cost of living is that's what be one.
Salary.
Yeah, that you got a better healthcare system in the sense that the company supplies. Well, it's another add-on, I guess, to make.
I don't know if healthcare is better. I don't know. I'd say they're probably like on par, perhaps.
Because I think the consensus is that, like, with the healthcare, like the NHS is a good thing on paper, but you know it.
Yeah.
It's not a business that's particularly well run, and a lot of people will say that you get better healthcare in other parts of Europe. So that's just probably down to mismanagement more than anything else. So it's great that we have it, but it's not actually that well run.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to someone the other day, and my personal opinion is that, and I think some European countries do this, where you have health insurance, not like the States, but it's like a sliding scale in terms of like what people can afford. Yeah. So if you're like low income, perhaps you don't pay for it, but maybe if you have a little bit more household income, you do pay. I think the Netherlands does that. I think then it would just at least boost the NHS a bit more, because as much as it's great to have free healthcare, it's so slow. I mean, I think I was trying to get a referral for something and they were telling me 2 years, and I was like, okay.
In the UK. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, right. Like, what's the point?
Post pandemic.
Yes. Yeah, this year.
Yeah.
If, what's the point? I might as well roll over and die. Like, what's the point of telling me 2 years?
Well, well, to be well, private. If you, if you stump up the cash, then private. But I'm hearing that people are having to wait on private as well. So,
well, well, right, the thing is, if you've got the money, you don't need to wait that long. It's as simple as that. If you've got the money,
long hours,
Yeah,
I can remember that. I had private healthcare. I was working for a company, and I had issues. I don't know how many money it was, but literally, I went into the hospital. I got x-rayed straight away. Within an hour, the x-ray came back. The doctor was looking at the x-ray. It was like, you go to the chemist, you got the drugs. It was like, bam, 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 bam. It just worked. Beautiful room. I thought, and I remember that was in Blackheath years ago. And that, it does work. When you, if you've got like a good heart private healthcare, like a Bupa or one of those ones, it does it does work. But like I said, it's expensive, isn't it?
Yeah. So, Derek, you were saying before that the way that the government can reduce some of these prices is to bring down the petrol, I guess. But
yeah, fuel costs. That's the big, and then that will have a knock-on effect on gas and electric and fuel, those three.
But the problem with that is that the electric and the gas is going up. In addition to that, they want to abolish cars with petrol in the next, I think it's what, 2 years?
It's not going to work, is it?
No, it's about, apparently, well, I think they stated 2030.
No, that's what they stated before. But what's happened is now they've pushed it to come forward now. So they're looking to get everything done within the next 5 years. Within the next 5 years. So what they're saying is that you'll no longer, within the next 2 years, you'll no longer be able to buy a car from the car showrooms.
I think that's nonsense. They can't do it.
Well,
there's no charging points around anyway. I mean, I've driven around a lot of places. Sorry to cut in, but there's not enough charging points for cars. And people who can't park outside their driveways, how are they going to charge their cars up?
It's not going to happen.
Not there.
Yeah, at all.
Well, again, this would be down to the government doing what they did in regards to the diesel, if you remember. Everyone's supposed to jump on the diesel, and then all of a sudden we all did it, and we realised that the diesel was the wrong way to go, so we have to go back to petrol. But the government did...
I've got a diesel.
Yeah. Huh?
I've got a diesel car.
Do you know what? But that goes back to my earlier point. It's like, I think you can't rely on government for anything, even when they were dishing out information for the pandemic and stuff, and some of it was quite contradictory. I think as an individual, you just got to use a degree of common sense just, you know, do the best for yourself to kind of get yourself out of it. You're not going to get any help from the government.
No.
But then, I mean, yes, and we should be informed as individuals, but then it's like, what's the point of the government if we can't trust them to act in our interests?
It's
a tough call, isn't it? Because it's like, if we're in utopia, then everyone will be perfect and they'd get it right every time. Unfortunately, we live in a real world and that's not going to happen. I think politicians are great at telling lies and blowing smoke everywhere. You know, they're well-versed on spin. There's no such thing as an honest politician. Do you know what I mean?
There was an agenda behind it, isn't there?
Exactly.
But I'll step in and say, they are honest until they come into politics, and then they realize by not being honest you can get certain benefits. I believe they come in honest, but they get corrupted. It's that simple, because the things that, say for example, Boris had done whilst he was prime minister, that's unheard of. I mean, he was called into the committee, I think it's 4 times, and they said of all the prime ministers they've ever had, they've never had anyone coming more than twice. Never.
Yeah, but let's be real. Like, he got caught. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of other scandalous stuff that goes on that we don't get to hear about.
Of course. Remember that
guy's an absolute buffoon. So I'm not surprised he got caught out. But believe me, I guarantee you that some of those other guys have done worse.
I would agree. I just think that Boris as a prime minister, it should never have happened. But then that's just my opinion. Which I'm entitled to do because I live in the UK. So I'm going for that.
We should also be
elected. Yeah, I suppose he got elected in that he could do Brexit, and the fact that he was in London mayor, put him forward because he had that kind of charisma in drumming up support for exiting Brexit. So that's the reason why I think they nominated him for as Prime Minister. But I don't think he would have been the ideal candidate if it wasn't for Brexit. That's why he got in.
So what was you about to say, Susan?
We should be able to have a general election. Like, we keep having parties nominate people in, and I'm like, hi, why can't we make this decision now?
Yeah. But then, you know what? Anymore. Having said that, though, could you trust Middle England to make the right choice? I mean, just look at America and the fact that they brought in Donald Trump. They went from Barack Obama to Donald Trump.
And they might bring him back again because he's running again.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, can you trust the people to make the right call?
I think in London, like, I think Brexit was heartbreaking because I remember voting, waking up and being like, what? And then I just remember, like, London is like a microcosm. Like, the rest of the UK is so different. And I forget that. Like, I live in South London. Real. It's so different.
Yeah, for real. But then has Brexit been the catastrophe that everyone thought it might be then? Maybe because there's been so many other things that's happening that it's taken a back seat, but
it has not. My work is in fashion, so just from the fashion industry perspective, yes, it's a nightmare.
Because
there's so many like tariffs and things, like a lot of our the work in the industry deals with Europe, and now we're not in the European Union, so there's a lot of mess in terms of getting materials over, going to do collections and show over there and paying people, all these kind of things have changed the game. So yeah, it's been a disaster.
So in terms of what the government can do let me put it this way. Derek, you've already said that in your view, they could cut down the fuel prices and that would help. However, their discussion is that they're going to bring in electric cars. So they wouldn't need to really do that per se in regards of cars, because that's essentially where they want to go, or if it's going to be electric. But in my opinion, that's going to have an effect again, because at some point we're going to have a problem with too much consumption of electricity in the household, exhaust for cars. It'll be for everything. Whereas at least when we had petrol, there was a little bit of an ease off of the electric, if that makes sense. But I don't see how that's going to work now if they make everything electric, because we use electricity for everything.
That ain't going to happen anytime soon, though, let's be honest.
No,
the infrastructure. Yeah, exactly. The infrastructure's not there. And I think you've got countries like, is it Norway? Or some of those Nordic countries that are they've got a real good head start on that infrastructure. The last that I looked at it is that they were trying to stop the sale of new petrol cars by 2030. I haven't seen anything to say that they're going to do that, try and speed that up again. But yeah, they just don't. The infrastructure's not there. Plus, you know, electric cars are still quite expensive.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think if you've not got the facility to charge at home, then you're looking to charge on the road, and they've got tariffs and different. You've got to sign up for it. Like, it's like most, it's not like Tesla. Tesla's got it pretty much nailed in that they've got all those superchargers scattered around the country and around the world. Whereas like non-Teslas have got, you've got the choice of several different companies, but none of them are unified. So you've got it's just a bit of a ball ache to be able to get electricity from them. And it's a mess. And it's actually quite expensive. I think there was something that I saw on YouTube a few weeks back to say, well, you know, he's just filled up his, I think he had a Porsche electric car, and he said that, you know, it was literally like a pence cheaper than petrol car. So like, what's the point?
Yeah.
What is the point? But that's because he was charging on the road. He doesn't have a charging set up at home. So yeah, it's a mess. It really is.
I think, personally, in my opinion, I think the government gets a bit too involved in things, and the thought process hasn't been done correctly. I think the government comes up with ideas and someone goes, yes, yes, and then they go for it. And then we as the people then find the problems in it. And then the government then says, yes, we understand the problems, and there's in additional problems that we hadn't really overseen. So, yes, we're going to scrap that, rather than accepting the fact that they made the mistake.
Oh, they'll never accept that, would they? They'll never do that. Again, it's all part of the spin, you know. They can't admit that they've done wrong. Yeah. So they'd rather just lie to the people and spin it some other different way. And that's the thing that just really gets on my nerves about government, prime ministers.
So what would you say then would be the way forward then, David? What would you say?
Well, I don't know. That's a $6 million question, isn't it? You've got all these people that have gone to the most elite establishments in the country and some, you know, the world or whatever. And we've still got a circus. Parliament is just a bunch of clowns. Mm. I don't know. You've got the great and the good in Parliament, allegedly. These people are supposed to be the great minds and the great thinkers to kind of get us out of this mess that we're in, but they seem incapable of doing it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you. I mean, what I will say is that I don't believe that this whole political system works, in that the whole thing about Parliament, backbenchers and all this nonsense that they've had throughout history, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the new regime could look like, but this doesn't work. It's not worked for hundreds of years, but it's not going to change until someone has some kind of epiphany and says that, you know, let's just try and do something a little bit different.
So,
but I don't have the answer.
So I was going to say, so let me flip something in here. So would it make a difference if they had someone of colour as the prime minister?
I don't think so, you know. If I'm being honest, I mean, you had, is it Kemi Badenoch gave it a go? But, you know, she's shrouded in whiteness. You know, she's married to a white person and stuff. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but she's the type of individual that I'll turn around and say there's no such thing as racism in the UK. That's problematic in itself. You know, if she was, she's obviously not now, but she'd been voted out. But if she was going to be prime minister, I can't see that working out. For certainly not for us, certainly not for the working class people. So I guess colour, gender makes no difference.
I think she's put herself on the platform where she came over so articulate, bang on in some of the interviews she was given. I reckon she's going to get a place on the high table now.
Yeah, she's done very well. I think she's definitely built her name up within the Tory government, though. But I just see her as another Shitty Patel, if I'm honest with you. These people are black, brown. But, you know, I hate to say it, but these people are Uncle Toms. So they're just in it for the Caucasian side of things, and that's it.
So, Susan, what would be your take on that? I mean, what would you say, what would be your impressions on what the government could do to make things easier, if not better?
I don't know. Like was already said, if there's anything they could do without kind of starting over, like the system doesn't work for us, you know, like the general population. And I don't think it's really built that way. So I don't know what could be done. But I think any little thing at this point would help. But to your other point of what you mentioned about having a person of color, like absolutely not. And I think that's definitely a tactic the Tory government will use to be like, yeah, we're not racist. We're not just about like upper class white people. We have a black person. We have Asian. And it's like, well, no, because look at what they're actually saying and what they believe, you know, but they will give that kind of representative politics thing. And it's not really that deep. All those people that have, even Rishi, would you think that he would align with like the common person of color? No.
He's
private school educator. I mean, he does a video of him saying like, I don't have working class friends. Like, he's a young guy.
Yeah.
So it's just
let me cut in there. So when you say there was a video of what? Just to like get clarity on that?
Oh, when he was younger, talking about how, you know, he has all types of friends, but not working class.
Wow.
So I think he mentioned having working class friends, and then he kind of backtracked and said, actually, no, I don't have any working class friends.
Like, wait, no.
cunts.
Wow.
You know, wow. Most of these guys, they're all multi-millionaires. And like I said before, they've grown up in I don't even know if it'd be middle class, it'd be upper class for most of them, I'd imagine. And, you know, they're going to be out of touch to all of us people. Do you know what I mean? So they're not going to have the life experience that we have. So they're going to see the world differently. So how do we get our voices heard by those guys up there? Do you see what I mean? I don't know how you do it.
I guess my take on it, I mean, this wouldn't, what I'm saying probably wouldn't come into fruition, but I'm going to say it anyway. And it's something that I think everybody's saying at some point. I think that the taxes should be raised for the rich. I know there'll be an uproar about it because they don't see why they need to. They work very hard to get in the position that they've been in. Yeah, yada, yada, yada. I know that. However, let's face it, even if they had to pay a higher tax rate, they will get the best, what do you call those people? Accountant. Yeah. They'll get the best accountant to basically find the loophole so they wouldn't have to pay it. But my point being is, if they, whatever they do, it always affects the poor or the middle class, but it never really affects the rich because the rich aren't the one that's complaining. They're never the ones complaining. It is always the poor and some of the middle class. It's that simple. For me, having an electric car makes no sense. The reason why I say that is because once we have an electric car, we're going to have an issue with that at some point. Yeah, because, you know,
I wouldn't say having an electric car makes no sense because obviously there's that what's happening with climate now. Electric cars will help lessen that. So I wouldn't say it makes no sense at all. Having electric cars makes perfect sense.
Well, I'm looking at it on the aspects that, for example, starting with trains, they started off with coal. Yeah, then they start off with the electricity. If you go to China, they've got tires on their trains for a comfortable travel. It's a lot quieter.
Can we talk about China's carbon footprint now? I mean, yeah, all right, I don't know about that, man.
Well, I'm talking about the good parts. You know, obviously there's bad parts.
There's
bad parts and everything. But okay. I just look at the aspects of the government always has these ideas, but it's not, they don't do any forward thinking. If they had done some forward thinking, then we just wouldn't be here. We may get here, but then it will be in a better place. I go back to the diesel. That if they did forward thinking, they would have realized that wasn't going to be the right, you know, move to make. But they didn't.
What I'll say is, like, hindsight's a beautiful thing, though. But like anyone that's studied any kind of like project management or whatever should know that, you know, there are certain mechanisms that should be in place to kind of see into the future, so to speak, to kind of make things as future proof as possible. And that's clearly not what these guys do. So just a really basic example was that monstrosity that they built in Marble Arch I don't know if anyone actually saw it, but it was some big mound, some big hill they spent hundreds of thousands on, with the viewpoint that people are going to spend money to go out there and see views of Hyde Park and that. So they did that, they implemented it, they spent all of our taxpayers' money on it. No one went up there because it was a complete and utter eyesore and it was overpriced and no one did it, and then they dismantled it and it all just kind of went away quiet. But the fact of the matter is, like, it's terrible, but, you know, it's a small scale, but the government do things on a bigger scale, much bigger scales than that, whereas it goes through all of these intelligent people, not one person has the good sense to say, actually, this is a waste of people's money. And that's just one very small, basic, I guess, description of what our government is all about.
I agree. So, Susan, the question for you. Let's just say you became prime minister.
Oh God!
Yeah, I know. what would you do? I mean, obviously, you wouldn't have all the paperwork to see the good and the bad or anything. You're only going by what you can actually visibly see. What changes would you make that you can see are fundamental, however big or small? What changes would you make?
I think I would start with a really robust kind of budget. it probably would not include lowering taxes, but I would rearrange how taxes are spent. I mean, I think there are other countries like Sweden that have high taxes, but you can see the evidence of how the taxes are used to benefit everybody, whether that's kind of like lower, like healthcare or things, you know, childcare, things like that. So, and I, so I don't mind taxes if I see the benefits of it in my day-to-day life. But that's where the disconnect, I think, happens here. So inflation is going up, taxes have been raised, bills are going up, food is going up, salaries have not gone up, and we're expected to continue on as normal. And it, that's where I'm like, okay. So I think sorting out the kind of financial mess would be the first thing to at least try and get to a place where we operate as a better country. Because to me, I think we're going to be, if we're not already, on par with America. And America is a mess financially. Granted, you can earn a lot more money there than you can here. But I think the kind of the poverty levels are so extreme because certain things like healthcare and stuff is not provided. So, yeah, that's where I would start.
I mean, I think the government started with giving people who's on job seekers, or what's it called now? There's another name for it, but basically,
universal credit.
Yeah, universal credit. By giving them, I think it's £644 or £870, which is a one-off. Well, it's not going to do anything. I mean, personally, if it was me, I don't see the point in giving that amount of money to any individual, because let's face it, they're not going to use it as they should. Someone's going to buy a mobile phone. Someone's going to get their hair done. It's just the way it is. Yeah. What I would have done is I would have said, you're going to get an extra, I don't know, let's just say £1,000. And then what I would have done was add an extra 30, 40, 50 pounds extra on their every 2 weeks money that they get, because they were very happy to receive the £20 that was offered to them because it said it helped them. So essentially just give them another £100 on top of that. But it would just be for that year or for that 2 years, whatever the £1,000 would equate to if you do it for 2 years. That's what I would do, because it would help.
I'm glad you ain't Chancellor, bro, because I don't, you know, because that money's got to come from somewhere. So.
Well, let's put it this way. You say, I'm glad I'm not Chancellor, but look what the Chancellor's doing. Look what he's going to do.
I don't think it's fair to say that people that are on benefits are going to necessarily spend money incorrectly, because I think there's a lot of people that have been forced to go on benefits, especially through the pandemic. Maybe not half, but a lot of people on benefits that are also working, but because their salary doesn't even cover their bills, they're eligible for universal credit. So I don't, on one hand, I think £600 doesn't do much when you have all the bills going up. But on the other hand, I don't think everyone's out here being like, oh, let me go spend this extra £600. Exactly. They're probably like, oh, that can go towards the bills that I haven't paid yet, or towards the groceries that I can't afford.
Well, maybe I should have been a bit more clear. I was going by the documentary that came out about 3 years ago. Forgive me, I can't remember the name. But they had various amount of people on there. The documentary, I think it was about 8 episodes. Correct me if I'm wrong. And essentially, what they did was a couple came in, just giving you an example. A couple came in and they wanted extra funds. So the government or the, what do you call those people, the person that they were speaking to said, well, what we could do is we can give you a loan, but we want to make it clear the loan we're giving you will have to be deducted from the monies that you receive from us. Now, as clear as they made that, the woman was like, yep, no problem. So she got the loan, which was an extra, I think it was £800, and then she went back again to get a further, I think it was £200. I think you could only take £1,000 max. I could be wrong because it was a while ago when I saw it. She then came back and then said that she's realized the money that she's getting now, the amount that they are deducting, is making her worse off. And now she wants to blame the government for allowing her to be able to take a loan out. Now, her argument was, I want to take out the loan to buy her kids some more school clothes. But she went out there and bought herself a mobile phone for her and her partner. She then got her hair done, and then she got some shopping and food. That was it. Money was gone. Hence why she went there again. So what I'm saying, I'm not saying that everybody is in that circumstance. That would be wrong to say that. Not everyone is. But there are people that they don't have that hindsight in putting things that are really important first, i.e. bills, i.e. debts that you owe. They don't have that. They just see they've got money and they deal with the consequences when it comes.
So let's be honest, some people are just stupid. That's just the reality of it.
Yeah, even there's people that have that are rich and act just as stupid. That's not a poverty issue. It's like, that's like a personality or character thing, and that's not just given to people that don't have money. You can have There's lots of quote unquote rich people that are poor. Right?
True.
So that can act in both. I don't think that's an argument for, I don't know. I guess the welfare structure is flawed. I think it needs overhauling, but I don't think it would be taken away.
No, that I don't think the government could do that even if they wanted to. That would have us all in uproar. You will see the biggest march ever known to man. Could you can imagine how many people depend on it. It wouldn't go too well. And the person that made that decision, whether the prime minister be male or female, black or white, they're gone. That's a fact. They're gone.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is people shouldn't have to depend on it, right? So that's the larger issue. We shouldn't have to depend on it. We should be able, for the most part, most of us should be able to work and earn enough to take care of ourselves. Because on the larger scale, there's things that we can't even afford. Our salaries are not matching. And so then more people will need to go on benefits. So they need to fix the larger issues. First, before they can think, and I know that's probably not what will happen, but that's, you know, because they've done things like, oh, here's £600. Like, actually, maybe if you lowered fuel costs or lowered the electricity bill, wouldn't need that extra money.
Yeah, which is true, because the I think it's the gas and electricity are going up again in August. So, we're going up again. It was twice this year, they said. So, it's definitely August. So, you know, whatever you're feeling now is going to be much worse coming August.
Listen to this, man. I've got a neighbor, one of my neighbors, literally like a couple of doors down. He's retired now, divorced. So he's got in his 60s, who I think he moved in probably the same time as us, so probably about 60 years ago. And to save costs, he switched off his electricity. He would sleep downstairs in a sleeping bag, basically to save as much money as possible. That's how much this guy is living. So on the outside, you know, it's a nice, he lives in a nice new build, three bedroom house. But on the inside, he's having to take these measures as a retiree to save costs on energy. It's madness. That's it's crazy. Absolute madness. Wow.
That's crazy.
This is how, and you know, like I say, he's not one of the more worse off people in this country. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's how some people are living, man.
That's crazy. I couldn't even think of myself like that. That's crazy.
Yeah, you mean leaving servers on, laptops on all night long? I'll have to start throwing them off now.
Honestly, it's not you got to do that.
Well, I've done that. I mean, I don't have my laptop plug in. I only have my PC on if I'm downloading something, legit, that is. So that's the only thing I'd have on, and most likely I'll turn it off. I am a stickler for leaving things on a standby mode. But I do realize, as much as that consumes electricity, it's not as much as if it was.
I read something suggested that that's not necessarily the case, depending on what, I can't remember what particular laptop he mentioned, but you know, he said this in the standby mode, it used up quite a bit. So yeah, you just got sensible. But I think the overall point is that we need an overhaul of government and people that are more personable and people that are openly able to listen to the wider public and
live in the real world.
I think the government needs to be a lot more open. They keep getting themselves caught.
And they keep getting
Yeah, they keep getting themselves caught all the time. They're never clear. They're never concise in what they're doing. They're concise in doing things wrong, then getting caught. And then, I mean, one thing I find interesting, and this might be going off topic a little bit. What I find interesting is no matter how many times a politician, an MP gets fired, within a month or two, they're in another job. Now, I don't know. Obviously, they've got contacts within their field and whatever not. But I know for us guys on here, if we got fired from our job, we ain't going to find another position within the company that we're in or within the government that we're in or whatever the case may be to get another job. And then some of those MPs are already millionaires anyway. So they don't even need to work.
Most of them. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. They don't need to work. What they need to do is they need to listen to the public, the general public, and find out what the problem is. We tell them. And out of 15, they do 5. And then they want to praise themselves for it. I'm thinking, well, what are you praising yourself for? For doing 5 out of 15? That's not even halfway. You know, there's still 10% of what's been asked for that we're still awaiting for, or more than 10%, rather, if you think about it. But it needs attention. And I find that the government, they don't have that. They look for quick fixes and then they quickly want to move on. And then they want to celebrate the fact that they've done it. So, for example, Boris, he's done the Brexit. Okay. The benefit of that is that we are on our own and we can do what the hell we want. However, the bad side of it is that a lot of people are feeling the pinch and it didn't quite work out the way it was. If you remember, the money that we're saving from going into the Brexit was supposed to go into the NHS. That didn't happen. Yeah, you can find that on YouTube. It's clearly stated there that didn't happen. So what was the point of it all then? What was the point? We're not better off. That's a fact. So what was the point? You bring that to the government's attention and all they want to talk about is the achievement that they made in terms of getting us out of Brexit. But are we really better off?
And I think the uproar on Brexit would have been higher if we hadn't been hit with the pandemic.
Agreed.
Like that overshadowed a lot.
No, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, lockdown.
That was bad.
But listen, this whole parliament thing and the nonsense that we've had to endure throughout history, right? So we're dealing with people that, if you look back to the whole slavery and reparations thing, bearing in mind that this country, this little country, went all over the world and messed things up for a lot of indigenous people. Mm. We're dealing with a history that paid reparations to slave masters rather than the people that are actually slaves, right? Mm. So if you look at that entire history, these people have got a lot to answer for. And it sometimes isn't necessarily about even like black people or like working class people. They've just got a history of the hierarchy, just kind of like if you look at the pyramid, the people that are at the top of that point, they look after themselves and everyone under them can kind of go to hell. That's basically how it's been forever. I can't see that changing anytime soon.
No, same.
True. I go with that.
True.
So yeah, I wish I had the answer as to how things could be. We could make things better, but I don't. All you can do is kind of look out for yourself, do as best as you can to get as much money as you can, so that you're not as affected in these situations.
I do think there's power in the collective, though, right? I think like part of the propaganda is to make us feel like we can't do anything, but obviously looking at history, great change has come by people banding together to be like, no, we're not going to take
it. But you've got to get the right a good number of like-minded people to do it.
Yeah, and but I mean if we're talking about the hierarchy of the class structure in the UK, there's more of us at the bottom than at the top.
Yeah, but we're at the bottom, so what does that say? Do you know what I mean? We can't turn the pyramid upside down. Do you see what I'm saying?
No.
So it's like that stupid. Remember that silly comment that that Kanye made? It's like slavery was a choice because there were more slaves than slave masters. So why the hell didn't all the slaves just kind of, you know? And that was a pretty crazy. That was a pretty crazy comment. But if you think about it, man, there's something in there. There's something.
I can't. I get where you're going with this, but I I'm trying, bro. I'm trying, man. But I can't fool you on that, man. Like, I can't, because I understand where you're coming from.
This is the point. Okay. Like, you made the point about there being more of us than there is of them. Yes.
Right.
But we've been at the bottom. Like, it's that pyramid. Of course, there's going to be more at the bottom.
I hear where you're coming from.
We've not changed the pyramid.
I hear where you're coming from. I guess I'm looking at it from this perspective. Obviously, if we had slavery now, not that anything's really changed, to be fair, but if we had slavery now as it was back then, we've got the mindset to do something about it. But I think back then...
Hold on.
All I'm thinking for myself, you know, if I was back then, I'm thinking of that whip. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking of the whip. I'm thinking of the beatdown I'm going to get or whatever it is that they're looking to do. And to be fair, in some cases, I will say this, in some cases, sometimes you can't rely on your own to back you up. That's where I'm going to leave.
No, that is exactly the problem. Okay, I'm not an expert on the history of slavery, but I think... looking at colonialism and Europeans and how they've kind of, you know, colonized the world, taken over, they've used divide and conquer tactic, not just...
Yes, and it's the psychology of it all.
Yes.
Right, so what I mean is, for instance, just to the point about Kanye's comment, slavery is a choice, whatever, I guess the flaw in that is that we were faced with, back then, our ancestors, with this divide and conquer, not only amongst us and, like, let's say Asians or things like that, but also among, like, the colorism, right? So, like,
that's crazy.
Light skin, but be in the house.
There are levels.
But if we, quote unquote, at the bottom, and if this has been done even in England, because, you know, when my grandparents came over in Windrush, for instance, and they talk about their stories, they had community with one another, with people from other Caribbean countries, and they banded together to do things like buy homes and stuff like that. When they were getting called dogs and people didn't want to, like, serve them in shops. So I'm like, we need to get back to that collective of, like, banding together in order to drive change. Otherwise, change will never come. It won't come from the top.
Agreed.
Yeah, but for example, in Singapore, when the people uprise and kick out the president, you know, I'm not saying there should be violence, but if there was a collective, you can get a lot done.
Yes. Agreed. You can do.
Agreed.
But the history says that it's unlikely to happen, though.
Well, I like to believe that's what history says, but there is a choice of fact, and what I mean by that is that history can be turned around. You know, I like to believe in that because
it's 2022 now, right? And if you think back to the 60s and stuff, when people were having marches about race and whatever, like, nothing's changed though.
Listen, you know what? I hear what you're saying, David, but I like to believe in hope because in prison they have hope.
Okay, I think that on one hand it is frustrating that we still deal with racial issues, absolutely. But there has been change. The change has been very incremental and slow. And I think we shouldn't give up and be like, there hasn't been any. We should
It's not giving up at all, man.
Because we have. Like, the fact that I'm sitting here, my life has been infinitely easier than my parents' life or my grandparents' life. So there's been change. But yet I still have to deal with issues of racism, sexism, and all those things. So it's kind of like looking at both, like, yeah, the change is so slow, but I just try to keep that, like, tiny bit of hope that, like, just keep pushing that things will even get better for, you know, the generations that come after us. And I think that's also what we kind of have to look towards. We might not see some of the things we want to see, but our children, our children's children, hopefully, if we do the work, they'll see it.
No, I agree with you because, I mean, Tupac did a rap in one of his tracks, which I can't remember, and he talked about there being a black president. And obviously, he died before that actually happened, but it did happen. It did happen. And that's something that I think we would all agree that we didn't think would ever happen, Tupac included, but it happened. So
But then we end up with Donald Trump after that, though. So
but that's not the point. The point was that will there ever be a black president? And that happened. That's the point. That happened. Anything afterwards, I would agree with you. But the main point was, we did have a black president. We've not had a black prime minister, but we had a black president.
We'll have a black prime minister. We want the right one, not Kemi.
Yeah. To be fair, I don't care what kind of prime minister is, as long as they do a freaking good job for the people. Then that's what.
Yeah, help the people. Yeah.
Well, maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe because we have had various different people, you know, being prime ministers, and okay, Thatcher was in my opinion, the worst of the lot, but she gave us the option to buy our council properties. But that's the only thing I can remember in terms of the good parts. The bad parts was, it wasn't that great. But it doesn't matter who we put into play. It's like they come in with good intentions, but doing the job, it all gets changed. It all gets changed. So I don't know. I know one thing for certain, that when they go in there, they look young and healthy. Then when they come out, they're old, tired.
But, don't get like, come on, man. That's probably one of the craziest jobs ever, isn't it? To run an entire country. Some people can't even run themselves or run a household, man. So you know, let's be real about it, man. It's a tough job.
They've got the civil service. They've got the ONS. They've got ministers, junior ministers. They've got all that armoury around, and all they've got to do is like be the orchestra. The conductor, I would say, and then flick their wand. They might do this, do that, do this. I mean, it's not just when you think about the government. I believe someone had a word in Boris's ear. Someone we don't know about. There's so many people you don't know behind the scenes what actually are the government. You don't hardly know who they are. So
yeah.
Look at this. You know what I mean? So it's not just one person. You've got a big team of people to assist in all areas, all specialisms. I mean, I've done a lot of work for the government myself, and it's like a machine behind the scenes. It really is. So when you think about it, the prime minister is just representing the government, but he's got a massive team. Like the cabinet ministers are like his lieutenants. Underneath that, you've got junior ministers, and underneath that, you've got like all the civil servants who work for that junior minister all the way up to their boss, which is someone in the cabinet. So it's amazing. It's a big war machine behind the scenes. So you know, if what's going on. You know what I mean?
No, but what you saying though? That it's a
But it's not just on one person. When you're talking about the government do something, it's like he's the one who orchestrates it all. So as long as the information comes through from the correct departments, it should feed up to the prime minister.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if you just think of like a business, like a CEO, if something happens with that organisation and he's not aware of what, say, his middle management or senior management are doing, something goes awry, the CEO's, he's getting it. He's getting it, man. He's at the top of the food chain there. So it's the same with the PM. It's no different. Do you know what I mean? So, you're going to have in theory, you might have lots of better people that are better at doing different jobs underneath them. And you know, he's just the face of the organisation or whatever. Of course, you've got to have like something about you to be in that position, but ultimately the buck stops with you, innit?
So
you know, I'm not for a second going to think that I'm going to be able to manage everybody that's underneath me. That's, you know, but they have, that's their job.
That's what they get paid for.
That's their job.
That's what they get paid for.
I wouldn't want to do it. No. But you know, for whatever reason, these guys do. Ego, whatever, I don't know. But,
power.
I mean, power, that's crazy power. But we think like Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson complained when he first got the job because he was earning less money.
Yes.
I think he was getting paid like $250,000 just on one little crap column in one of the broadsheet papers, right?
Wow.
Just more than his PM salary. So, you know, he's laughing. He's going to come out of that premiership
and
earn millions more.
But I have to interject here. Although he wasn't paid the money that he was looking for, he still wasn't paying any taxes. He wasn't paying for, you know, like the electricity and gas that we pay for. He was also not paying for his clothes because all that was allowances. So essentially, I didn't agree with him when he said what he said, because if I was in a job where I wasn't paying for my clothes, wasn't paying for my electric or gas or whatnot, I'm living the life of Riley. It's as simple as that, because that's bills that I don't have to pay.
Yeah, well, he doesn't think like that. He's rich. He comes from money. He doesn't have, like...
Exactly. Like, basic house bills. Yeah. That don't mean nothing to this.
That doesn't factor in.
Let's be real, bro.
Well, I'm going to have to wrap this up, man, as much as I love these conversations that we have, man. So I want to say, David, thanks once again for joining the panel. Derek, again, thank you one more time for, you know, being here as always and on the panel. Susan, I hope I can bring you on here again, and I promise to have another woman that can get your back. But I believe in this conversation, you held your own. So
thank you.
You're very welcome. So I'd just like to say to everyone who's listening, please check out the website, which is www.intellectual-discussions.co.uk. And I also want to thank Nick Gibley at WP Agency for helping me out with the website. You guys, take care of yourself, and thanks again.
See you.
Bye, everyone.
See you later.
Bye. Bye.